Hello and welcome to the Sutliffian Report. Today we have a topic on outrage. Where is the outrage? Hello, welcome to the Sutliffian Report. Today we have a topic on outrage. The question is, where is the outrage today? And that is something we're going to really get into. I have a lot of concerns about where are Christians, where are they taking their stands? Why are you not allowed to express yourself as upset or angry and when something is severely wrong? But again, as this is a Christian news show, I want to start with a reading from the Word of God. Today I'm reading Matthew 22, verses 8 to 14. Then says he to his servants, "The wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Go ye therefore into highways, and as many as you find, bid the marriage." So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together as many as they found, both bad and good, and the wedding was furnished with guests. And the king came in to see the guests, and he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. And he said unto him, "Friend, how did you come in here not having a wedding garment?" And he was speechless. Then said the king to his servants, "Bind him hand and foot, and take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen." Jesus was sent to the lost sheep of Israel. His disciples take the message to the world. Verse 11 here concentrates the rest of the passage on the wedding garment. The king traditionally would provide such garments to be worn. Not wearing a garment provided was considered a statement of insult. You did this on purpose. It was provided. There were several, and they were in your several sizes. So it was a choice not to wear it. That's the thing to think about. And it was a choice to make that insult. We are clothed in his righteousness because of his shed blood on the cross for our sins. Each wear these wedding garments, no thanks to our own works, but thanks to the King of Kings. This person who came to the wedding feast and intended to take part, but refused what was offered freely to him, was like a man who wants an award for winning a race, but is not willing to run and intends to walk. Today, when you ask people what they think will happen to them when their life is over, you get a lot of interesting answers. Many of them state that they hope they've done enough good things to get them into heaven. When they're asked about a faith in Christ, they share they don't want to give up things. Those things being sinful, desiring acts of sin. Willful acts of sin. They refuse Christ's gift of salvation and intend to go to heaven. They're like the one who went without a garment. Their refusal of Christ's gift of the clothing of his righteousness is an intentional insult to him. Jesus is so loving that they can refuse and insult him until they are on their deathbed. Even then, if they accept Jesus, then their sins are washed white as snow. Dear Lord Jesus, you clothe us in righteousness. You dress us in finery beyond our grasp as your brothers and sisters, royalty. For many of us, we have no understanding of how you can be so loving to accept us sinners simply by accepting you and what you've done for us. Yet it's a true miracle that changes us from within. It creates in us a clean heart. It purifies us. It changes us over time. Lord, I ask that you just continue to work on us, continue to build us up. And Lord, restore us to you. In your name, Lord Jesus, amen. Now, today I wanted to talk about outrage for a few reasons. And I'll start out talking about outrage that has to do with Islam. And to me, that always starts, I mean, this is the reason I wrote my last book, was the concept of outrage, because I was angry. I wrote this last book, I say angry. I went to Europe as part of a fact-finding expedition on the Islamization of Europe. I was one of 20-some-odd people that went. Daniel Pipes led the expedition, and he was one of the two people who led it, and it was mind-blowing awareness of what happens when Islam comes in where it wasn't. I've been watching the news. I've been tracking the news stories. I've been doing that for years before I went. I saw a lot of things there that I say blew my mind. I'd heard about the rapes. I'd heard about the quote grooming gangs, which in truth are rape gangs. All this other stuff. I mean, nobody's asking the questions. Nobody's asking why isn't anybody doing anything? That bothers me. So that was the purpose of my book. It has to do with being rightfully outraged. It has to do with being rightfully outraged. What do I mean by rightfully outraged? You have to be... Sharon, I muted you. I'm sorry. This is where I was hearing the echo. So when people do something wrong and we don't show, I mean, they do, there is such a thing as righteous anger. And that needs to be understood. It needs to be communicated that righteous anger has its place. To say that that anger has no place is troublesome. This is really, really difficult to say that. I run into a lot of people who do not believe anger has a place, and I disagree. I wholly disagree, and we're going to get into a little bit of – I'm just going to talk about why we should be angry about how women are treated and in Islam. Oops, and here we go. Let's talk about where's the outrage for women under Islam. And I'm saying this is by a concerned Christians. There's everyone that's on this panel today, I believe, is a Christian. So the question is to those women libbers out there, where's your outrage? Where are they? Where are the people who want to say this should not happen? And So here's the question. Where is the outrage under Islam, for women under Islam? It needs to be asked. I saw this out of a memory link, and I'm willing to share if you need the link. Islamic cleric Adil Ghafur Ganal. The moment we lose our patience, then who is Napur Sharma? Napur Sharma's head will be found away from her body. Now, this poor lady, she has been accused, the link is there. Poor lady has been accused falsely of saying things that are considered blasphemous. What did she do? She talked about the Prophet Muhammad having married a six-year-old and bedding her by the age of 9. There are several clerics, there are several scholars who say that if you say anything else, you're denying the hadith. You know, maybe you've got some mental issues that you can't read the hadith correctly. I mean, I've actually heard that. You're not, something's wrong with you if you're not picking this up. So let me just get into one thing that was said here. I'm just skipping to the second paragraph. The radical cleric, Adil Ghafur Ghani, said, I will myself come to the battlefield. The administration should take hold of those who speak against the azan, call to prayer, those who speak against the hijab, the Islamic veil, that they should be held by their neck. If they cannot hold their necks, then we are ready to chop their necks. And this is the kind of thing that's being said in India today, a non-Islamic country. And, you know, they separated the Hindus and the Christian, the Hindus and Christians from the Muslims. Oh, where did the Muslims go? They went to these places called Pakistan, and that's what it was. There was a West Pakistan and an East Pakistan. But today, they choose to live amongst the Hindus and say, They want to chop their necks. Where is the outrage? This woman told the truth. She did not say anything blasphemous. Where is the outrage? The world should be upset. It should be talking about how evil this person is who would marry a six-year-old and better at the age of nine. We call that pedophilia today. But that gets left behind. Here's another one. And I guess pull this link up. Okay. I saw this article and it kind of blew my mind. I wanted, you know, here we are. I'm talking about how women are treated under Islam. And here we have an example of a Muslim woman. Turkey accused of killing a Kurdish female commander in Syria. They attacked, this came out from the Jerusalem Post today at 6:55 their time. Seth Fransman. The attack by Turkey using an armed drone appears to be the latest attempt by Ankara to attack U.S.-backed anti-ISIS forces. I don't know if we still have any forces backed in another country like Syria, and I say I don't know because Obama had everybody, you know, had everybody out, and then we had finally we had Trump pull them everybody out. So the question is there anybody is still there to back? I don't know that we're financially supporting anyone, but Jerusalem Post records it that way. A Kurdish commander in the Syrian Democratic Forces, U.S.-backed group that helped defeat ISIS, was murdered in a targeted assassination drone strike in Syria on July 22nd. The attack by Turkey using an armed drone appears to be the latest attempt by Ankara to attack U.S.-backed anti-ISIS forces. Now, again, where's the outrage? Regardless, Turkey's supposed to be an ally. I have been saying this over and over and over. Clara Lopez says it over and over and over again. John Guandolo says it over and over and over again. I don't know anyone who can think of a country that will attack allies. And this is Ankara. This is Turkey. They're attacking people that would help us fight ISIS. That says something. This same group had targeted... Sorry, let me just finish this. Turkey has also encouraged extremist groups to shell areas of Syria and Tel Tamar, driving civilians from their homes. Now, they've been doing this for quite a while. I've been documenting this kind of action for almost, you know, a couple years now, which is sad. I mean, when ISIS was done, Turkey went in and took their borders and went in. And again, reason why I'm talking about this is, again, that they had taken out a Muslim woman is what it came down to. And yes, there are Kurdish Muslim women. They attacked her because she stood up for what she believed was her rights to be not be raped, people from raping. All right? This is the sad, sorry truth. That's what's happening. And let's keep going here.
I was going to add something that
yes.
Turkey,
yes.
Turkey hasn't been our ally for quite some time. Look at the behavior towards NATO. They've purchased an air defense system from Russia, a Russian air defense system. And in order to operate that air defense system, you have to put in NATO information. And so we have no idea how much information Russia has gotten from us. Because Turkey, purchasing this air defense system, has given them information about our aircraft. So that tells you what type of ally Turkey is. It's the type of ally that would let our soldiers come into Turkey to attack Iraq in the north in 2003. We had to send the 3rd Infantry Division, not the 3rd Infantry Division, 1st Infantry Division, armored out of Hood. Had to move them back out of the Mediterranean because they're supposed to land in Turkey and then rail down to Iraq. Had to back them out of the Mediterranean, sail all the way around Africa, and bring them back up through raw in order to get them there. So this is the Turkey that is supposed to be our NATO ally. They have no business being a NATO ally.
I don't have a nice word to say, and I wish I did. Again, the outrage. When this happened, I mean, this was actually something that was talked about. And people like me and probably yourself were talking about how dangerous this Turkey under Erdogan is. This dangerous country that wants to be called an ally. They'll schmooze up to you, but they have nothing to do with protecting. Again, they're okay with killing off Muslim women if they don't back them. And this is another thing. It's a political choice they made. I have real serious issues with this. This next article comes from Ivy Times. Muslim woman allegedly brutally beaten for interfaith marriage to a Hindu man. So a woman in Islam doesn't have a choice on who to marry. And it's kind of shocking. I watched the interview. They can't interview the woman. This is interesting. I mean, I'm not a big fan of interfaith marriage. That's just me. But, you know, as a Christian, I believe you should be marrying other Christians. You should not marry outside your faith. That's what the Bible says. Do I think people should be killed as a result if you choose to do something? No. In fact, I think that kind of concept is archaic. Now, this article, I know it's a year old. It came from June 23rd in 2021. But I thought, again, there should be outraged about how women are treated in Islam. So a 20-year-old woman, a Muslim woman in the Indian state of Uttar Pradesh, was allegedly abused by her relatives after she married a 28-year-old man in the village who was from another religion, authorities revealed Tuesday. This is a year ago. The unnamed woman, who was reportedly an orphan that lived with her grandmother in the village of Barabanki, was allegedly beaten up, had her head shaved, and then forced to walk through the streets by her relatives over her interfaith marriage to a Hindu man. The India Today reported, citing police. The age of the husband and the date of the wedding varied between some sources. As per my wishes, she said, I got married to a youth from my village at a temple on Monday. My uncles called me home and with other family members beat me up with shoes, slippers, and sticks. Initially, they chopped my hair. Then they shaved her entire head, she said. Then they confined her at home and threatened to kill her. This is the woman's complaint quoted in the Indian Express. This is acceptable in Islam. And that's where is the outrage. I mean, where were the women's libs groups screaming, this woman needs protection? They were silent. I would stand up for her. Everybody here in this group would stand up for her. Again, brutal, violent response. It's just wrong. Now I'm going to get...
This is how Muslims have made India the second most popular Muslim country in the world. It surpassed Pakistan and is projected to pass Indonesia within the next 15 years. And it's because the average Muslim man in India can marry up to four wives, while the average Indian man, can, according to law in India itself, can only marry one wife. So what's going to happen is Muslims are going to become a majority in India, and at the same time make India the most have the highest number of Muslims in it here within just a couple of years. It's frightening what they're doing to people in India. This is just an example of that.
And every week I see an article where either a Hindu or a Christian girl was taken in India or Pakistan, kidnapped, and then married off to a Muslim older man or young or a man about her age, and then raped. They're saying I neglected one part. They forcibly convert her. They say, okay, you say the Shahada, you have no choice. If you don't say the Shahada, too bad for you. We'll kill your family. And that's the stuff that's been going on, and it's something to think about. This next article I have is from the Daily Mail. And come on. Here we go. This one bothered me to think that a teacher would be doing this. Sick moment Muslim teacher demonstrates how a man should beat women with a stick. His Islamic group says a husband's violence towards his wife is a beautiful thing. Now, look at the year on here. It's April 2017. This is by Ali Gilman for the Daily Mail in Australia. Not from a Muslim country. Muslim men are allowed to hit their wives if they disobey them, and domestic violence is a beautiful blessing, according to the women's branch of a radical Islamic group. Sydney's primary school teacher, Reem Alush, told the women's arm of hardline political group, Hizbul Tahrir, that men are permitted to hit women with sticks. During a 30-minute discussion at a meeting in Sydney's West, this is a woman, Alush, and fellow panelist, Atika Latifi, and my screen just went blank, just a second. All right. Who are both wearing headscarves, describe how beating women is a symbolic act. At one point, even demonstrate how to use a small stick to hit disobedient women. Now, I think it's funny. This particular hadith that they use to say it's done with a toothbrush, that's not even that's considered not even valid, or it's a weak hadith. Now people will back weak hadiths lately, and you know what, if they consider it weak, I don't consider it worth being used. But that's what it said. This hadith that they're trying to say, it's funny. Yeah, they're laughing about it. One of the reasons they're laughing about it is because they know it's not something truthful. Women are beat severely for not following and not obeying in that respect. It is severe. And this stuff just gets to me. Yes?
No, can I jump in here real quick?
Please do.
This whole thing, it actually says... The Muslims
say
fear. Sorry about that.
No, I don't think it was you. Keep going.
Yeah, but if they fear being disrespected or whatever, they could beat their wives.
That's actually in my next piece here. I'm going to pull up.
Okay.
Thank you for saying that. And I want to play this video, and you can find it on memory.org. Here's the link. I'm going to pull this up, and I'll pull it over. This is rather shocking. When I saw this, it's one thing. I want to point out that this is put out by Al Jazeera. Keep thinking about this. Al Jazeera is the network that people wanted to keep in the United States, but again, they got caught with their pants down. What do I mean by they got caught with their pants down? They were officially they were acting as a foreign agent, and they were influence agents from Qatar, and they got caught. So let me play this. This is kind of mind-numbing. Can you hear this? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Here we go. Some say claim that Islam fights violence against women and domestic violence, and that the prophetic guidance opposes these things. But at the same time, you allow husbands to beat their wives. And this appears in the Quran itself. Allah says, admonish them, forsake them in bed, and beat them. Islam is not the religion that invented violence. The Muslims are not the only ones who beat their wives. The international statistics show this. In some big countries, 2,000 to 4,000 women die yearly from being beaten by their husbands. These are non-Muslim countries. In other countries, one-third of the police force is dedicated solely to protecting battered women. The Quran says, as for those on whose part, the wondrous nature of Islam, this goes too fast for him, sorry, it treats women's disobedience and rebelliousness right from the start when it is merely a suspicion. As for those on whose part you fear disobedience, and it goes farther, faster than I can say, it's very important because the women need it. I'm going to stop it. They believe that women need this. Did you catch that? They believe women need to be beat.
Almost because they're half-brained.
Yeah, they don't believe, again, this is, again, I recommend buying my book, The Cancer Civilization Jihad. It addresses, they do believe women are half-brain. It's, if, let me just read a piece from here. It's just, I'm kind of, I get upset when I think about how women are treated, you know, as, they're not considered the same. They're not considered. Here we go. This is talking about how they think women are intelligent. This comes from Sahih Bukhari, Volume 1, Book 6, Number 301. This is narrated by Abu Sa'id al-Khudri. Once Allah's apostle went to Musalla, to offer the prayer, O Ida al-Ada, or al-Fitr prayer. Then he passed by the women and said, O women, give alms, as I have seen that the majority of the dwellers of hellfire were you women. They asked, why is it so, O Allah's apostle? He replied, you curse frequently and are ungrateful to your husbands. I have not seen anyone more deficient in intelligence and religion than you. A cautious, sensible man could be led astray by some of you. The woman asked, O Allah's apostle, what is deficient in our intelligence and religion? He said, is not the evidence of two women equal to the witness of one man? They replied, yeah, in the affirmative. He said, this is a deficiency in her intelligence. Isn't it true that a woman can neither pray nor fast during her menses? Woman replied in the affirmative. He said, this is a deficiency in her religion. But it's Muhammad who created those things. It is Muhammad who did that. So he's using circular logic, which tells us he's mentally ill. It's not me doing that. Circular logic is a symptom of mental illness. That's just what it comes down to. All right, I have to pull this off of here so I can get back. Some of these things are just, you sit there and they're kind of mind-numbing. The fact that this guy would say these things, you know, again, one of the things he says right from the start, start when it's merely a suspicion. Oh, start dealing with the rebelliousness. He does say, you go through the steps, but the majority of what he's talking about is beating. So there are steps. Okay, you talk to them. You raise your voice. You have a harsh manner. You separate yourselves from their bed. All over a suspicion? What if your suspicion is wrong? It's okay. In Islam, you're allowed to beat your wife if you think she did wrong. Ugh. Okay, Dragon says, don't forget, if dig donkey or woman pass by, your prayer is invalid. That's right. Yeah. Dog, donkey, or woman invalidates a prayer. And that's, these things are, only in Islam are women so fearful. I mean, I don't know of any other religious structure where women are so badly treated. There is one religion that's got similar issues. That would be Mormonism. And they are only saved from their sins by their marriage. So that says something. They can only be saved from their sins if they married the right man. Again, it says something. Let's go back to the top. Muslim woman converts to Christianity and runs because she fears her husband, and she's now dead. This came from December 30th, 2021. That's just this past December. Out of Nairobi, Kenya, and this is, again, the Morning Star News. A Christian woman and her children last week fled the violence of her Muslim husband in eastern Uganda, and earlier in a nearby district, villagers destroyed a newly believing family's crops and drove them from their home, sources said. Aisha Nambaya and her five children, ages 9 to 2, fled their home in Busalamu, Bukanga, in Luka district after her husband found her with a Bible and beat her on December 20th. In a dream on midnight, December 17th, she says, I saw a man with white clothes who introduced himself to me. There's Isa, Jesus, Nambaya told Morning Star News. He showed me two paths, one leading to good life and another one leading to destruction. The Christ figure did not let her ask questions, she said. When I woke up, I was very fearful and trembling. And early in the morning, I was so restless that I went to see Christian neighbors and shared the dream with her. Nambaya said she advised me to see a pastor near Iganga district. Her husband, Yazid Magara, was away on business, giving Nambaya the opportunity to visit the pastor, whose name is withheld for security reasons. She told him and a few church elders about her dream, and the pastor told her it was Christ inviting her to salvation. Without much hesitation, the conviction was so much, pray for me, Nambaya said, adding that she put her faith in Christ. Immediately, a big burden rolled away from her heart, and great peace settled in her heart. Pastor then continued sharing with me the new life and following Jesus. He advised her to be careful about reading the Bible in front of Muslims, to put the Bible in a secret place and ask her husband about Christ to gauge his reaction, she said. When Magura arrived home on December 20th, she kept her faith secret, but began reading the Bible after he left for work. Nambaya said, she fell asleep in the afternoon with a Bible nearby. My husband arrived at 4 p.m. while I was still asleep and found me with a Bible. He said he was furious and wanted to know who gave me the Bible. I wouldn't tell, even after him beating me up. The girl slapped her and struck her in the back of the head with a stick, leaving her with swelling near her ear, she said. When he left at 5 p.m., he told her that when he returned, she must tell everything, including who gave her the Bible. As he left, I knew I was going to have serious problems, so I decided to take my small children to church. The church quickly relocated us to another place. We left everything back at home and managed to come with only a few clothes. We need prayers and help from God. My understanding, this woman was killed afterwards, so I'll leave it there. What did she do? She followed Christ. It was a choice. And according to Islam, if you leave it, they have to execute you. And for women, this is more... Islam survives, and you'll hear people say this, Islamic scholars say this, Islam only survives because of that threat of death for apostates. People stay in it because of fear of being killed. What does that mean? Again, I don't condemn anyone. I don't hate any Muslims. I condemn the ideology of Islam. And as far as hate, I can hate an ideology. I hate communism. So I don't have a problem with hating an ideology. I consider communism pure evil. Do I consider Islam pure evil? Yes. We should all hate evil. When you start to say, well, you know, maybe there's something good here, that's when you start to compromise what you believe. Are you okay with your six-year-old daughter being married off and being bedded at the age of nine? Once you start to compromise, you start to accept those things. This is a problem, because that's what their perfect man did. He married a six-year-old girl and bedded her at the age of nine. All right, so this is, I'm just going to stop the screen share just a second. If I had my mouse, there we go. All right. So there's a lot of things to be upset about, but I thought we had to lead with Islam. Now, I am going to be filing a defamation of character case lawsuit. And I was just talking beforehand about why we need to do that. Why not just me, I think others need to do that. When somebody takes your character and drives it through the mud, they do it because they believe you will do nothing. In fact, I received a note, an email this week saying, go ahead. It's not like you couldn't do it anyway. You know, he's like challenge, daring me to do it. So I think that's one of the problems we face as Christians, as conservatives, that we don't have that outrage. We aren't ready to fight for who we are. And I think that's problematic. Wow. I guess Eric got bumped or something. That was just kind of weird. We are not fighting for what we believe in. That's what it comes down to. When the elections were stolen, I will say this, when the election was stolen, why do I say that? If you watch the evidence in 2000 Mules, watch that video, all the evidence you need to know that's factual evidence that can prove that the election was stolen. Eric, you said you were outraged watching that.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Can you hear me?
Yes.
When we started, when we watched that movie, 1,000 Years, you see these people stuffing ballots into unconstitutional ballot boxes. And I mean by unconstitutional ballot boxes, that you had state Supreme Court, because of the COVID, it's emergency declarations enabling people to usurp the legislature of those states to submit ballots that were not in person, or they did not have to verify signatures or follow the law developed by state legislatures on how voting is supposed to be conducted. And then at the beginning of all this, Trump even said they're going to cheat their butts off if we don't do something about this. And so when we see these people stuffing these ballots into these ballot boxes, of course we're all appalled, but what the heck do you expect? So when you don't have the rule of law, when you don't have the rule of law, you're going to enrage people to the point where they don't feel that they have a say-so anymore. When people don't feel that they have a voice anymore, what's the last thing they do? Well, we saw a great example of that in what's the name of that city in Christchurch, where that guy he tried to warn people about Muslim immigration, and everybody mocked him and marginalized everything he said by calling him a racist bigot or whatever. And so the only avenue that she left the guy with is when he started killing people to make his point. Well, I'm not advocating people going out and killing other people to make their point. But what I am saying is that this is the kind of stuff that revolutions are made of. When people don't stand up and say what is wrong, when people don't get kicked off, like Paul's talking about tonight, This is what, these are roads that do lead to revolution. History is littered with them.
And this is from a history teacher. It's not like we don't have...
Exactly.
Yeah. So, again, we can look at, if you want to go back far enough, we can look at things like the French Revolution with the unfairness. Again, there was no voting back then. Oh, yeah, wait, there was voting. That's what caused this all about, because of the unfair voting. Oh, and what was one of the accusations that is very similar to the French Revolution? Weighted voting. And we...
Don't forget that people were being thrown in prison for speaking out against Louis
XVI
or whoever that is.
Yes, yeah, the 16th, yeah.
They threw into the Bastille. Kind of like what they're doing now. They're arresting them in the middle of the night, in their homes, where something like this is never handled that way. This is what they're trying to do. They're trying to use the branch of the Justice Department to intimidate people into silence. And in this
very week, they've a judge sentenced a guy caught in 2020. All right, caught in 2021, January 6th. And they arrest him some shortly thereafter, because he was on January 6th inside. And he must have done some destruction of property, because he did sound like he was apologizing for something. But he got 5 years in prison. Okay, it's 2022. He's been in jail at least a year. So he has four more years, probably in that very same prison, where they weren't allowing spouses to visit, where they weren't allowing family, any kind of family or lawyers to visit. And this is what you would basically call solitary confinement, when you don't allow family or friends. It's highly illegal. It's against the penal code system. And again, where is the outrage? We had congressmen and congresswomen go to that particular prison where they're being held. And this is a prison where they're being held is a place where they closed it. They had closed that area. This is special only for those who were there on January 6th. So they're keeping them separate. Why is that? Did they do anything? You know, I'm not saying that they, if those who did harm stuff there, again, I think you need a charge. Maybe, but they let the guys go just recently who did this for a TV show. Yeah. And they didn't charge the people who let them in. That's something that should be outrageous. I mean, you hear people like Tucker Carlson, Jesse Waters, Mark Dice, all talking about this. Again, they didn't arrest. See, the charge is different. This is where we should be outraged. If you let people go the next day for doing the exact same thing, which was walking, they went in to the Capitol building, and they walked around. Many of them, that's all they did was walk around, take pictures. They had selfies they took with police officers. There's video of this. And now they're doing January 6th hearings, trying to pretend it is all some nefarious plot. Yet they don't want to discuss certain things, like, you know, the eyewitnesses' lack of credibility. There's no leading members, oppositional members allowed to do any questioning. This is scary stuff. This is the stuff you hear about during Nazi Germany, and you hear about these same kind of trials being held in communist Russia or in Islamic countries when they want to talk about things like blasphemy. Oh. You know, and back in the 80s, they did a lot of video, a lot of movies on this kind of concept. Iron Eagle was one of those, the series that they did. And it all started with a guy getting his plane got shot down. He got supposedly caught, and then he was supposed to confess to this made-up charge. And this is acceptable today? That's the stuff that bothers me. It's acceptable if it's a certain party that does these things and not another party. It's acceptable if you make an accusation and it's false if it's against a conservative. It's not acceptable against a liberal. Why? Again, it should be wrong no matter who does this. Sin is sin regardless. Okay? It's as simple as, I'm complaining about things when there are sins that every one of us does, and it doesn't make them right, but they should all in their, all these things should be considered wrong. I look at the elections as something we have to fight against, and I wish I could figure a way to do that. I mean, they can be thankful I'm not a general. Because if I had some of the knowledge that a general had, I would have probably been planning and plotting a retaking of the government if I knew the elections were stolen. Egyptians tell us that is why al-Sisi took Egypt, because the Egyptian ballots or their election was stolen. So this is something to think about. It's not what you've been told in the media. What part of the reason I look at some of this and I see this, you know what they were accusing the United States of? Schmoozing up to the oppositional party. The oppositional party, what do I mean by that? The party that had stolen the elections. And they had evidence of it. And when al-Sisi took power, scared certain people. Who was in power then? That was Obama. They wanted to have the ambassador removed again. And what do we have going on today? We have schmoozing going on with Egypt. Not Egypt. No. It's schmoozing going on with the people. They want to be put back in power. The same people that got removed from power because they wanted to implement Sharia. Who am I talking about? This is the Muslim Brotherhood that's been put into power, and they're trying to put them back in power in Egypt again. They're doing the same thing. Let them out of jail, letting them get involved in politics again, and can Egypt expect any different? And when you keep doing the same thing and you expect different results, we call that a sign of something not right upstairs. Insanity. Doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results. Scary stuff. I think the biggest thing we need to be outraged about today, besides that, is the expectation of fear that has been placed upon every citizen of the world. They've been told, everybody's been told, you have to get an injection. They call a vaccine, and this is problematic. Why? Because the information that's coming out with this on these things called vaccines, I'm only talking about the stuff that regards COVID-19. Because legally, they had to change the definition of vaccine so they could call it a vaccine. Up until the date that they changed that definition, it was still considered gene therapy. And most people wouldn't put gene therapy in their bodies if they knew it. So what is the new stuff that's coming out? Well, there have been studies about it lowering sperm counts. Interesting. And there's been studies about it causing higher death rates. There's been studies and examples of 100% in some hospitals in the South, in this country, who had 100% people who had been vaccinated, and like 60% of them are out of work because they have COVID. What does that say? Did it protect them? And that's the humor. If it doesn't protect you from COVID, Birx came out this past week And she was talking about how it was never designed to protect you from COVID. Wait a minute. Wasn't she on the game, on the bandwagon saying, yes, it's, you know, go get your injection? Yes, she was. So she's openly admitting she lied to the American people from that position. Should be she be charged with a crime? My thoughts are yes. But don't hang her without hanging that other guy, Fauci. Fauci should be on a, yeah, Fauci should be facing criminal charges by the entire world. By the entire world. What a, United, this is one of those United Nations. I think that everyone would enjoy seeing him hung up. Now, what do I mean by hung up? I'm saying a legal prosecution. And, you know, maybe he could spend the rest of his life in the jail where they put the Nazi criminals. I'd be happy with that. What was his intent? And what is his new intent? All of a sudden, he's coming out of the woodwork again. And no one's showing any outrage. You know, you go on a, I don't know if anybody who rides a public bus. In New York State, if you ride a public bus, they make you put on a mask. And the second you get off, you can take it off. Oh, unless you're in a public bus area, you know, like building. That's the funny thing. You walk out of that small area, you can put, take your mask off. You can go swimming. You can go any place. You don't need a mask. I shared a picture this week of a person wearing a what we consider a welding shield when she's going swimming. I still see every day, I still see people wearing masks. Where is the outrage? Again, this is, again, the outrage. Living in fear. Us, the people who are informed, are not outraged enough to tell people this is a fear tactic. They did this to get you to do what they want you to do. That's a scary thing altogether. When they're using fear to get you to obey, something is wrong. That was the reason for the sudden claim that there was monkeypox on the rise. Oh, okay. So now there's a new fear. When you ask young people, this is the thing that kills me. When you ask people, I'd say in their 30s and younger, why they were so quick to obey all of this, you get the same answer from every single one. Why were they so quick? You know the answer I got from every place? Didn't matter if it was here in this country or anyplace else. They all said, I thought it was the zombie apocalypse. You know, I start thinking about all those movies they put out, all those videos, all those video games, and you can still find them today if that was the real intent to throw fear behind people. And Dragon, thank you. You know, unless you're in public transport and hospital only, FPP2 mask. I refuse to wear a mask that was made in China. I had to go to the hospital. I refused to wear a mask made in China. They only had a few that were made in America. Oh, and who was getting those? Oh, this is where it gets interesting. See, I wanted a mask that was made in America, and they had those. Only their staff were allowed to wear them. Because I said I would wear a mask, I just said I wouldn't wear one made in China. They had to, somebody had to give up a mask. it wasn't a used one, but I'm saying it would have been somebody's. They had to make an exception for me. That says something. I say, don't wear these stupid masks made in China. Don't do it. Remind people what the purpose of this is. If you're outraged, do something about it. Get involved with elections. Get involved with sharing Christ, because there's no better way to share the truth. Get involved with a local group. I know the group that I work with, we're having our own independence party this weekend, and we're going to get out there and tell the truth, to each other, and encourage others to go out and share and find places for us to talk. There's a lot that has to be shared and to get the facts out. What I do and what Eric does and a lot of others do, we talk a lot about the dangers of Islam. And the reason is because the stuff, that's what should out just blow all of our minds. I've only talked about a few things tonight about outrage, and most of it has to do with women. This book, The Cancer of Civilization Jihad, is there. I mean, it was written a lot of outrage. And my problem was nobody was asking questions. How can this happen? In the book, I slam the country where my family came from. What country is that? That's England. They call it the United Kingdom today. I slam them really bad. Why? Because I slam them solely because they didn't protect their children. And I say any country that's accepting large amounts of Muslims into the country, followers of Islam, again, I'm not slamming the Muslims, I'm slamming the ideology. If you follow or accept this as normal, something's wrong. Let me just read some of the questions I have in here. I mean, again, all of these, just about all the chapters are about, are questions about social norms. And one of them is the hijra. Is it legal for Muslim migration to Western civilizations? You find it that that there's purpose behind it. And the whole purpose is jihad. That's the only allowed purpose. And it's in the Quran over and over again. Yes, Annie Cyrus and I have met. Yes. let's see. Is there an Islamic social norm against telling the truth? You better believe there is. And what gets funny, when you talk to former Muslims about this, they say that it took them a long time to get used to telling the truth. It was a hard thing. They lie so often, it's part of culture that they lie to each other. One of the things I started to look at on Eric's show, there was a video I shared about a guy who created an Iranian who created a video on camel urine. You know, how it's going to protect you from COVID and cure all type thing. And when I saw that, I started to look at medical journals and stuff. You know, what are they really saying in academics? In medical field about, you know, stuff like this. How can they justify that? And I started looking at this, and you start looking at the backgrounds and where some of this stuff comes from. And what caught me was the amount of lies they were telling each other. I still kind of mind-numbed over that. The amount, it's mind-numbing when you see how much lies that are told to other Muslims by Muslims. But again, the purpose is to defend Islam, so that makes it legal and obligated. Here's another one. Is slavery legal today under Islamic social norms? Absolutely. Are there racist social norms within Islamic beliefs? Absolutely. Muhammad was white. He was a slave owner. He sold two black slaves to pay for one white slave. He called black people raisins. And again, if you don't believe me, I say you can pick up my book or you can pick up the Quran and read it or the Hadith. Find this information out for yourself. Don't trust me. I don't want you to. I want you to stop being trusting. I want you to start doing your own research. That's my big outrage as an educator. That we don't have anyone teaching research anymore. They don't even do this. I asked this week, are kids in elementary school still doing book reports? Yes. So my question is, why do they stop them from doing research when they get older? Because of all the requirements of all the other things, they take the teacher's ability to put research as a priority away from high school students. That says something. I've only seen a research project done in a senior level in a high school. In the past 10 years, it's the only place I have seen research done. I did research every year growing up. It seemed like you did book reports from third and fourth grade on up. And then you got to junior high, you did a research paper. I did one for music. Basically, mine was on Elvis. And I did something on something related to social studies every year that did a little bit of research. 10th grade, I did one on Vietnam. And I had to find out whether I thought the question was for me that I had to figure out, since I picked Vietnam, was it a justified war or not? And I came up with an answer that I don't think my social studies teacher liked. And the answer was yes. I thought it was justified. I still remember his look at me, like, because I was kind of on the fence with that answer. It depends, it depends on if you accept certain things. Again, outrage. We don't see our kids being taught the right things. So let's talk about the push for the gay. I hate using that word because that means happy. The homosexual movement. Into your children and getting it. I just saw a map this week that expresses the kind of outrage we should all feel. Only one state out of 50, said, you can't touch our children's brains with sexual promiscuity until the kids are old enough, at least in their teen years. You can't do that. Oh, what's that state called? Does anybody know? Anybody listening know? Only one state said no. And only one. Florida, yeah. And do you remember how upset that one girl got? Yeah, I can't tell anybody about me. And she's talking about kindergartners. She was telling kindergartners about her sexual relationships. I'm like, oh, something's wrong here. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. And it had nothing to do with being homosexual. It had to do with you shouldn't be talking to kids about sex and sexual relationships, period.
In third grade.
Yes.
Second grade. Kindergarten. No, don't. This is what people know what they're doing. Because people, with these ideas, thinking that it's okay, develop during kids. Adolescent years of kids. They can go home with kids in their most formative year and push this garbage and they can groom them for when they get older. And that's
their goal. And this is, again, it takes parents getting outraged to get rid of certain people in power in Virginia. It takes parents to be getting involved. The best thing for 2020 that ever happened was parents began to see what their children were being taught. I'm not going to say I don't think the education system should ever be remote. I think that's the dumbest idea. There was never any reason for fear of COVID for children. Never. There's never been any. I can't, even to this day, I don't know that they've documented one case where an adult has received COVID from a child, from a school setting.
No, I did not. My grandson.
Oh. Wait, but there's an exception here, I'm going to say. You had a shot before that, right?
Okay.
You had a shot before that, right?
No, I didn't have time.
Oh.
This was December of 2020, and Mm-hmm. He had me, all three grandchildren, Queen, my daughter, and I think that was it. And my grandson had been exposed on Christmas Day at my daughter-in-law's family. So he brings it with him, so he can infect everybody that was in the suburban.
Was he ever really sick?
No, he wasn't.
That's what I find.
I mean, everybody had it, but nobody was really, you know, I had the symptoms. It wasn't that at all. It was just the fact that he had all that. And he was around zero. I still let her remind me of that today.
And you all got tested? Is that how you found out, or?
Well, when we, on the way back, we found out that my daughter-in-law's family had gone out and tested positive. And so they went out and they tested my grandson just as soon as we got back. He tested positive. So we're thinking, well, let's go get tested. And we all got tested. We all had it. So he was 6 for 6 on that trip as far as but it was, you know, we stayed in a single hotel room.
I look at a lot of this. One of the big things that people don't talk about, I mean, simple things that could be taken, that can be done, that they said in the first medical studies that came out, they said it was one of the things you needed to do was to take D3. Why? Because the majority of people who were having these bad symptoms were not taking D3, were D3 deficient. That was one of the medical studies that came out. So I'm not saying I read a lot of medical studies. I'm looking, when something like this happens, you want to find out, you want to go find the sources. You want to find out what can you do. I have a father who totally believed in supplements. And because of those supplements, he's still with us. That's how I look at it today. He can still somewhat see. And he has, his mom had glaucoma, and now he has it. So down the road, I probably will too. He didn't get it till he was at least 80. So I've got some time yet. And, you know, it's something to think about, that these things, preventative things, there's natural things that can help. But again, they don't publicize these things. Why? Because they wanted to publicize a vaccine, which we learned is not effective. Again, the studies are showing those vaccinations. And again, Dr. Birx came out and told people that it was never supposed to protect people from COVID. What did she tell Trump is what I'd like to know. Because he was putting a lot of weight behind that because of statements from her and Fauci. She must have told him she believed in it. What was she getting? I mean, is she getting a financial benefit? I have a lot of questions because I know Fauci's making benefits off this. Yes, he's protecting himself. We have no outrage today. That's the biggest issue, I think. We look at the schools, we look at the elections, look at how people are treated, and then there are people out there, there's a nameless wonder out there who's made a video that defames my character, and, you know, I've informed YouTube of this. I've informed them of the other things it does. It's libelous, all right? And where's the outrage? This is the reason why I have to file a court case. Because unless we do something, this is the thing I tell my children. I want my children to know that, you know, their dad does things for a reason. And I think that's, you know, they have to be able to look at us as parents and say, my father or my mother was a part of doing that. Unless we all get on that bandwagon and are willing to stand up for what is right, we're in trouble. I think we're in a lot of trouble if we don't start standing up. That's what it comes down to. I'm just seeing so much that we're not doing. And I say that when I stay inside a lot and I do research and I'm not out there doing other things. And that's the stuff, again, that bothers me. I can only do so much being one person. In my city, we are now one of the murder capitals of the country, Rochester, New York. And the one reason, I'll tell you one of the reasons why. Parents don't know who Jesus is. Their kids don't know who Jesus is. You know, the past few years is the first time I've taught a history class to 10th graders, and they've never heard the name of Jesus. Who is that? And I'm just kind of mind-boggled that would happen. I mean, there's a lot of...
We're teaching kids that don't know Jesus, or they don't even know who Jesus is, but we're not just the right. We're talking about a great community that we're doing.
In my case, for the classes I taught, it was 100%. 100% had never heard about him before.
Growing up, you and I, we took this grant that, you know, people knew what Christianity was. You know, whether or not people were, you know, good, nominal, or whatever Christian, that kind of point was that they knew what Christianity was and Christ was. And they know Christianity believes it. They don't have that. Like teaching a pagan culture.
Well, here's another article on things that we need to be watching for. I just pulled up. And again, this is a leftist agenda that it's talking about. This is, I recommend the Washington Free Beacon if you don't subscribe to it. I do. And I really recommend it. It's probably one of the best news sources out there. It says at this Manhattan middle school, sixth graders are asked to surveil friends and family for microaggressions. I read this earlier today and I was kind of like mind blown. It says this book is anti-racist, is a key element of curriculum. Okay. It's CRT, people. It's CRT. That's what this book is. It's a CRT book. This is by Aaron Sibarium. This came out yesterday. A New York City public school encouraged students as young as 10 years old to keep a list of all the microaggressions they witnessed, both at school and in their own families, according to materials from the school's curriculum reviewed by the Washington Free Beacon. The same students were also asked to list their gender identity, cisgender, non-binary, or trans, as well as their sexual orientation on a graded worksheet. Really? A graded worksheet. Gender identity and sexuality. How does that fit? This violates New York State law, just to let you know, that this violates New York State education law. So this curriculum, again, legally could not even be taught, I don't know about what state you're in, but, you know, this is kind of mind-blowing. Let me keep reading. The sixth-grade humanities curriculum from Lower Manhattan Community Middle School, where just 31% of students are white, required students to read Tiffany's Jewels. This book is anti-racist. That's the name of the book. One of only five books assigned for the 2021-2022 year. This book contains 20 lessons on how to wake up, take action, and do the work, including the work of confronting the police, which Jules suggests white students can do without ending up in jail or harmed. Really? You know who gets shot more by police? White people. If you are a black, brown, or indigenous person, or global majority, you'll need to decide how each outcome could end for you. This is from the book. Quote, Jules writes in a chapter called Choosing My Path. White people, this is not something you need to do because you are the center of the system. The book also asks students to surveil their friends, their families for racist behavior, grab your notebook, look in it and listen for microaggressions around you. You have to be trained to understand microaggressions. Children can't understand these things. 10 years old? I mean, Eric, you worked in a law enforcement area. Did you learn anything about microaggressions when you were in? Well, again, this is, I mean, there's a lot of good shows these days that talk about microaggressions, but you cannot teach this kind of stuff to a child. You have to at least be on the undergraduate or graduate level, or you have to be a person who's involved in psychology or law enforcement in some manner to pick up these things, because those are the people who are trained to be, these are the characters who people who do, their skills are involved in observations. So you look for certain things. You look for certain expressions. And microaggressions are very, very, again, the word is micro. You can't expect a child to grasp this. And this is the stuff that just gets me. How do we trust? Where's the outrage? Were the parents upset? Why did it have to take a publication like Washington Free Beacon to expose this? Why weren't the parents exposing this? This is problematic. Again, this is from a book. Somebody probably sent it to Washington Free Beacon. But you know what? We should be taking a stand. We should not be allowing CRT. And this is one of the reasons why parents were going every place. And you'll see a lot of black parents standing up and saying great things, you know, against, they say great things about the country and horrible things about the curriculum as far as CRT. This should not be allowed anywhere. I'd say the same thing about the concept of Common Core. It was a horrible, horrible, disgusting thing. When Common Core was coming out in New York State, what happened here was, at least in my county, a lot of they had a meeting, and the superintendents and the union presidents of the teachers' unions got together, and they all agreed to accept the Common Core before it was written. Does that make any sense to you? You say something's okay before it's even written? Again, this is the reason why people get upset, why there's outrage.
It's, they accepted the Common Core before it was written. They accepted the Common Core and given to them if they accepted it. So that was about.
Yeah, and said, if you're gonna say, I guess I have my real issue is I gave our union president a hard time. I said, how could you accept, say yes to something, and your name get listed on it being yes and as accepting without having read it? I don't care if there's money attached to it. I mean, the idea is, you know, you can't accept something as right and good when you don't know what it is. You don't say, okay, yes, there's money attached to it, it should be good. No, you've got to find out what it is. This next one comes from The Hill, which kind of blows my mind. And they're, knowing it's from The Hill, they're probably celebrating it. Okay. Well, this should upset you. Why? Because this article, Indiana school must allow transgender girl to rejoin softball team. Judge rules. This is a Clinton-appointed judge. Sorry, it's Obama-appointed judge, remember, right? Okay. Indiana school must allow transgender girl to rejoin softball team. Judge rules. Boy wants to be on the girls' softball team because he can't make it on the boys' softball team. All right. So the case questions regarding the boundaries of Title IX, whether or and how the boundaries should stretch. Well, if you're not biologically a female, you should not biologically be a, you should not be allowed, again, to play the part of a biological female. That's what it comes down to. They lost a federal judge on Tuesday, temporarily blocked Indiana Public Schools from enforcing a state law preventing transgender athletes from competing on sports teams. Again, it's temporary. How can they legally, again, state law, this is the same issue that has to do with Roe v. Wade. This is the federal government interfering in a state law matter. This is why certain things are left to states. Education was left to states. So the feds have no business here. And this is just unbelievable. And, okay, yeah, and guess who's in on it? ACLU. ACLU was founded by communists with the purpose of destroying America from within, just like the Muslim Brotherhood. I wish these things were, this is why the commies and the Muslim Brotherhood get along so well together. The purpose is the same, to destroy America from within. And, you know, the other thing I think that should get people ticked off is listening to Biden and Kamala Harris, Bumble. We should get upset, and here's why I say we should get upset. We should be disgusted. Because these two people can't speak coherent sentences without assistance. People are scared to remove Biden because of Kamala Harris being there. I don't think Biden could pass any cognitive test. There's been a lot of medical professionals who state, you know, what state they think he's at as far as dementia. I don't think Kamala Harris at this point, I meet a lot of people who think she could pass a cognitive test. Could she pass a mental health exam? Be my question. Because she talks using circular reasoning a lot. I don't think she can pass. They could both be Amendment 25. Sorry?
Neither do I.
They have, there's some videos out there of Kamala Harris's recent speeches. Please, please look them up. It's shocking. It is just shocking to say that this stuff is happening. Again, outrage is something we should have. And I do like, I just caught some of our private notes. Yeah, and Bruce Jenner will not, his name is still Bruce as far as I'm concerned. He can change his name. He's still male. You cannot change who you physically, when you can decide you want to be something else. When you're trying to change who you physically are, that's not always a good thing. I mean, I get you want to be more healthy. That's good. Do what you can to make yourself more healthy. Eat the right things. But change who you physically are. Yeah, I'm not considering myself skinny by any means. But again, what am I doing? I'm dieting. Is it going to work for me? That's a good question. And I don't care. That's the thing. I'm going to be happy. You have to be happy with who you are. That's an important part of, again, outrage. We have to have something called out. We have to have righteous anger. We have to be able to stand up and say these things are wrong, and we have to be unafraid. So here I've talked about the elections. Will YouTube ban me? I don't know, because I think right now Google is not happy with Biden. You know, it just makes me think. I mean, if Google's happy with Biden, I don't think so. I don't think many people are happy with Biden. He has a 30% approval rate. In fact, I don't know any – currently I'm not aware of any Democrats that I know that are happy with Biden. I don't know one Democrat that likes him. And they like Kamala Harris even less. Again – outrage. We should not have allowed our elections to be stolen. we should have been fighting this from the beginning when things were seen that just shouldn't have happened. I got sent an absentee ballot. I called and I says, you're violating the law. You sent me an absentee ballot and I didn't request it. That's a violation of election law. Well, we got together and decided we would do this. I said, you're not the state. It's my county that said this. You can't do that. It's illegal. I think those officials who made those choices should be fined at the very least. They should be charged with breaking state law in every state. How many ballots went out? Were there 6 or 7 to one house? How many wrong addresses did they get? That's another issue with absentee ballots. You got to pay attention to these things. We can't be ignorant. We can't allow those things. We have to fight. What do I mean by fight? I'm not saying go out and do violence. I mean stand up. Stand up and be noticed. Stand up and have the gumption, just the ability to share what you think is wrong. And do it unafraid. Why? Because when you stand up and do something fearfully, you don't have to get your point across. We have running for office right now. Now I got to stop and think. We have a great guy running for office here in Rochester. He's the former chief of police of Rochester, New York. I'm all excited. Why? Because I really think LaRon Singletary can and will win a congressional seat. Can you imagine how the black community will feel seeing a sheriff become congressman? Chief police. I think they're behind him. Because if you know LaRon Singletary, he's a good Christian man. You know LaRon Singletary, he's going to tell you the truth sometimes whether you like to hear it or not. Because he's going to tell you the truth. He's not going to make stuff up. He's not going to be pretty when he tells you things. He's going to give you the facts. And if it makes you feel too bad for you. That's LaRon Singletary. That's the kind of men we need running for office. And, you know, he's just one of those. If you're upset and you're in my area, if you're in the Rochester, New York area, I say, you know, go support LaRon. That's all I can tell you. You need to find who you can vote for today. You need to stand up for those people. That's the best place we can, as Americans, we can fight in the elections. Don't miss an election. Don't miss those opportunities. Hold on to that righteous anger and use it. Stand up. Thank you all. I'm going to say goodnight. Anybody else have some last words?
Stand up and fight.
Yeah.
They use your voice. Don't let people shut you down.
Thank you. God bless everybody.
God bless. Thanks, Paul.
I talk a lot, but yeah, there's not enough outrage. Good night.
Good night.